You know what time it is. Welcome to Great Table Talk. Four childhood friends coming together to make a difference in our everyday community. Enjoy this week's episode.
All right. Welcome to Great Table Talk, everyone. It's your girl, Cash. And today is a special episode, a special podcast. Remember we told you about the podcast that's dedicated to the month of May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I want to welcome my home girl.
Hey.
Her name is Nicole Freeman. Say hey, girl.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
I just want to give you all a little bio to let you know that we are serious about this thing. Nicole is, of course, from, can I call you Nicole?
You can call me Coley. Everybody calls me Coley.
Coley, okay. Coley is from New Orleans, Louisiana. She has a bachelor in psychology from UNO and a master's in psychology with a concentration. That's why I'm reading this, because I want to get it right. The concentration in child and adolescence. And she's currently employed as an assistant dean. And she was previously employed with as a case manager, right?
Yes.
From and a behavior into what is that?
Interventionist.
What is an intervention?
So basically,
I'm messing it up. Hold on, I'm messing up.
Behavior interventionist.
Ooh, girl, I can't say it.
Yes. So basically, I did ABA therapy with kids who had autism.
Oh.
So it's applied behavior analysis. So basically, I took their behaviors, studied what the antecedents to those behaviors was, what caused them, how we can go about rearranging how they react to whatever caused their behavior.
So you did a lot of study. That seemed like a lot of paperwork.
It was. Well, it was a lot of iPad and punching and stuff. So I did social skills, potty training, behaviors in school. So most of my job was spent in schools, and I did some of it at home.
And we need, let me just tell you this, we need it in schools. I mean,
my current job, let me know that we need it in schools.
Well, look, I want to thank you for taking the time out of
your
schedule.
You're welcome. I'm excited.
And we look forward to having a great podcast. So if you have anything that you want to add, I want to make sure that you drop it in the comments below.
All right.
So, Coley?
Yes.
All right. Well, this is the first question I have to ask you. And I'm pretty sure everyone is kind of like in the same path or wanting to know the same thing.
Okay.
What is the stigma, do you believe, that's in our community when it comes to mental health?
I think when it comes to our community with mental health, in the past and right now, it's seen as taboo.
Oh, yeah.
Majorly because Black people see mental health issues as being defined as being crazy. Versus just saying that we don't have the same mental balance as everybody else.
Right.
You have people with anger issues, bipolar, schizophrenia, all of that. Even when you're talking about suicide in the Black community, it's very big on Black people don't commit suicide.
Right.
Or, you know, they must be crazy, or somebody talked them into it, or that's a white people thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's not it. Mm-hmm. Is mental health is really basically just your psychological well-being.
And
are you okay?
And that probably should have been my first question, but you answered it. Like, what is mental health?
Yeah.
You know.
It's your state of being regarding to your psychological, your social, and emotional well-being.
Yeah.
It consists of the way we feel, the way we think, the way we act. If your mental health isn't on point, how you handle different situations falls into that.
Y'all hear that, Al? I'm just saying. Okay, I have, and I love my family, I do, and my friends. Mm-hmm. And they've been clowning me for a long time because it's like it's an open joke, you know, with those who know me, that I'm a fan of every now and again, if you need to go to therapy, I'm a fan of laying on somebody's couch.
Therapy.
You know, I'm here to tell you, because you can go on therapy and say a whole bunch of stuff about that you wouldn't really say to, you know, certain people.
Right.
And they help you work through those things.
Definitely.
But it has been taboo for a long time in our communities. Mm-hmm. And my family and friends know this, that I often tell them, you need to go lay on somebody's sofa. You need to go lay on somebody's sofa. I was talking to someone that I love nearly and dearly. You know who you are, boy. That he needs to go lay on somebody's sofa. He said, no, I don't. I'm like, yes, you do, because you have some issues, you know. But one thing I dislike is how watered down and how we throw that word crazy out there so easily.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Because that can be offensive.
It is offensive. I think a lot of people, that's why a lot of Black people veer away from going to therapy and counseling, because I also think a lot of blacks don't understand the whole concept behind therapy and counseling. Mm-hmm. It's not like you go sit on somebody's couch and then the next thing you know, your whole entire family knows what you said.
Right.
And everybody knows that you have a mental breakdown.
Absolutely.
Everything that you tell the therapist is confidential. As long as you're not saying, I want to kill myself, or right. I want to go kill someone this person. Else. Yeah. Everything you say is confidential.
Right, right.
But I think even when you're not dealing with mental health problems, just to go sit and talk, you know, everything that we deal with, especially today in the world, is very stressful. Yeah. Even if you don't think that it's playing a part on your mental health, it wears down on you. You mm-hmm. start to see it in certain situations that you deal with. So I think a big part of it is you don't want nobody to know.
Right, right. So listen, if you are going through it personally in your life, it could be work, it could be kids, let me just be politically correct, it could be work, it could be family, it could be finances, it's okay. A lot of us have health insurance, because that was another taboo.
Well, that's another issue in the black community, mm-hmm. mental health, is that a lot of these healthcare plans that our black families and people have doesn't cover that. So when you're going to the doctors and you're saying, you know, I want to see a psychiatrist or mm-hmm. I want to see a therapist, is it in your plan?
Right.
Can you pay out of pocket?
Mm-hmm.
Going to see a therapist and a psychologist is very expensive. So
right. Okay, let me back up a little bit. What is the difference between a therapist, a psychologist, or a counselor?
Okay. So, going to the psychiatrist is basically you go in, you sit down, and they ask you, what did your therapist tell you? What did you talk about with your therapist?
Okay.
Give me a little background on what's going on. But it's not really a conversation about what's going on. It's more like, what do you need to help you deal with that problem?
So okay, psychologist?
The psychiatrist is where you get your medicine.
Oh, okay.
So you gotta
okay,
go talk
okay.
to the therapist, and then you go talk to the psychiatrist, mm-hmm. and the psychiatrist gives you your medicine.
Okay.
So
can I get you weed? I got it. That's a personal thing.
Now,
don't y'all judge me. Don't y'all judge me. I'm trying to find out. I can get some weed.
Now, it has been shown in research that marijuana does help with depression.
Mm.
It helps with a lot of mental disorders. To my knowledge, yes, the psychiatrist can prescribe you if that's what you truly actually need. Now, how easy it is, I don't know. You can't walk into the psychiatrist's office and be like, you know what? I feel real depressed. I think I need you to prescribe some of that weed right now.
You can't do that. Okay.
You have to actually have a legitimate issue going on.
I'm
going
to think about a legitimate issue that I can probably come up with to get
they
me.
They have legitimate pills that they're probably going to give you.
I don't want the pills. I want the weed.
That's
okay.
Not a thing. That's the issue. It's taking medicine.
Okay.
In the black community.
Oh, true.
Black people don't want to admit that they're on no type of medication. Arthritis medication,
yeah,
heartburn medicine,
this is true.
Anything.
This is true.
So,
this is true.
When you say I'm on some Prozac,
yeah,
they don't like
right,
that.
Right. And that's another thing. I think we need to break the stigma. We need to, which is why, again, I have to reiterate, this is why we're doing this podcast, because we need to break the stigma. We definitely need to break the cycle of thinking it's such a bad thing to do. And we need to educate, because we have a whole group of individuals that are young folks, especially.
Young folks, I think, are more open to talking about the fact that they're hurting or that there's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I really honestly think that it's the older generation that's just like, no, we're not going to talk about that. That's an inside house thing.
Yeah.
I'm speaking from experience mm-hmm. of having someone say, you don't need to go see no therapist.
Yeah, right.
You crazy.
Right.
Something wrong
right.
with you. Go down.
Right. Something wrong with your head. Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's more the older generation speaking to the younger generation, telling them, you don't need to voice that out. But then you also have friends who tell you, you can talk to me about it.
And that's
talk
the thing.
Talk to your friends.
Right.
It's not, it works. Mm. It gives you that instant good feeling that everything's going to be okay. But that's not
sometimes
always
you
answer.
Have to go to someone who has that experience to help
definitely.
You work through that non-bias
yes,
experience that will help you through what you're going through. And right. even you brought up a point about sometimes the young folks are more open to going to therapy than some of the older people. I guess my thing is because, and I'm talking about from the age of what's Generation X,
mm-hmm.
okay? That's, you're probably much younger than me, but I'm from Generation X. And Generation X, we weren't given those tools. Right. So even though the younger people, which is yourself and, you know, y'all have, okay, I can go talk to somebody, get, you know, medicine, or this is therapy, not bad, this is okay, let me go do right. this. However, our generation, we didn't have that.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Of being equipped with the tools.
Right.
So I think it's important, even Generation X and even from our parents, is to begin to talk about it.
Right.
Because we say, okay, well, I don't know if I have a problem. Because right. we can't even identify stress.
Right.
That's our body will tell us that we're stressed, mm-hmm. but we can't identify mm-hmm. being stressed.
Right.
But and we have to be aware to know ourselves that well to say, okay, something's not right.
Right.
And guess what? Mental health doesn't necessarily, this is from experience. For me, mental health doesn't necessarily mean that there's a problem.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And it also doesn't mean that you're weak. Because
right.
that's a big thing, is that if psychologically I'm not right, I must be weak.
Mm-hmm.
That's not it. Your mental health is very important to your everyday movement.
Absolutely.
If you're not okay mentally and something you're dealing with is stressing you out and
mm-hmm.
your body's acting crazy,
right.
you're eventually going to break
right.
down.
Absolutely.
And you might not know why, but you're going to break down.
It
and
all
then
stems.
Where do you go?
Correct.
Because
correct.
Talking to your friends doesn't always comfort that spot, because
correct.
Your friends are there to say what you
right.
need, what you want to hear.
Right.
Not
right.
very often do you have those friends that are going to say, look, Nicole, let me
yeah.
tell you what you need to hear
versus
what
you want to hear. Right.
So it's very important to break those stigmas in Black families. It's a big deal.
Right.
It's a very big deal.
Right. Okay. Here's another question from the people. Is it normal for someone who has experienced emotional abuse to be manipulative? And I'm going to repeat the question. Is it normal for someone to have experienced emotional abuse to become manipulative or to be manipulative?
Hmm.
Is that like a normal thing?
I'm not going to say that it's normal,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's very common.
Okay.
Because there's different styles of emotional abuse. There's
uh-huh.
emotional abuse in regards to finance, emotional abuse in regards to how you talk to somebody.
Yes.
And I do think that when you have somebody that's been dealing with all these emotional stressors with whoever it may be, it's very easy to become manipulative, because
mm-hmm.
you're trying to manipulate somebody to give you what you need,
uh-huh.
to give you what you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
that you were supposed to get from the person that's emotionally abusing you. If that makes any kind of sense.
I gotta say that probably one more time for the folks out there.
I think that it's very, very common for a person who's been emotionally abused to be manipulative, because they're only looking for what they needed from the person that emotionally abused them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're looking for compassion, or you're constantly giving to this person, because
mm-hmm.
they're always asking, you start looking for somebody to give to you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I've personally dealt with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that I became manipulative, but I noticed that when I was giving so much of myself, I started looking for somebody to give to me.
Right.
Because you got to replace
what absolutely.
You're giving out.
Absolutely.
And if you can't replace that, you start doing things to get it, and it might not always be the right thing.
Good, good, good. Okay. How to handle someone who has anger or emotional issues without confrontation? Hold on. Whoever asked this question, how do you handle someone who has anger or emotional issues without confrontation? Why do people think confrontation is such a bad thing? They picture confrontation as being like a fight. Well, that's not what confrontation is, but that's just a side note of mine. I just wanted to share that personally. But I'll let...
Can I tag on to that?
You know, yes, you can.
I think people are so afraid of confrontation because what confrontation has been made to seem like.
Yeah.
When you're constantly seeing people being confronted, and it always ends up in a negative way. You
right.
have nothing but to think, if I confront you,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how you're going to react, but my first reaction is to think it's going to be in a bad way, it's going to be a fight, it's going to be an argument, because
right.
someone has told me a lot lately
mm-hmm.
that nobody wants to hear the truth. So, when you're telling somebody the truth,
right, right.
who's to know what you're going to get?
Right. That's a good one. That's good. And guess what? Telling the truth sometimes, oftentimes, does not mean that you have to be ugly when saying it.
No, you don't.
Back in the day, you know, old church folks say you could tell the truth in love. You know what that mean? You tell the truth. But you don't say it in such a malicious way
right.
that you offend who you're telling the truth to.
Right.
Is that fair? That's fair enough
yeah,
to say?
That's fair.
Okay. So that, oh,
but
okay.
To your
did I? Yeah, to my question, you can answer the question.
Okay. Tia, question. How to handle someone who has anger and emotional issues without confrontation? Well, I think first of all, to handle them, you have to know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
You never go into a situation and not know who that person is and try to confront them. Because I'm not going to come confront you because I don't know you like that.
Right, right, right.
I don't know if you're going to hit me or you're going to cry or you're going to be like, ah.
Right.
But I think that in order to handle them, you got to know who they are. You have to watch what you say. You have to know who you are. If you know you're the type of person that you can't tell the truth with love or you have to say something in a malicious way to feel like you're coming across, don't confront them. Just don't do it.
Right.
I think you have to pay attention to what the situation is as well. If it's not something that concerns you and if it's not life-threatening, they're not about to die, back away until you figure out
a little more. But on the other hand, if you're in a relationship with this person, let's just say if this person is your spouse or your best friend or your child or your parent, then you have to confront that issue. You get what I'm saying? Without being confrontational.
You do. And I think that it's all about how did you build that relationship you're in?
Oh,
how are you taking care of that relationship that you're in?
That's a good one.
Because if you're consistently beating up on that person all the time and an issue arises, you can't go confront them like
that.
Because
you don't have that power. Yeah, because you don't have that power.
Mm-hmm. So you just got to know who you're dealing with.
And have that influence over them.
And make sure that the environment that you're confronting them in is the right one. You never want to confront somebody in a big audience of people.
Exactly.
Because
right.
then that leads to you, as the young people say, calling me out.
Yeah.
You putting me on a spot. And you don't want to do that to somebody. Especially, make sure that you're confronting them because you want to help. And because if it's something that's bothering you,
okay.
don't confront them just because you want to be messy.
Right.
Because that's going to lead to all types of problems.
Y'all heard it here. Think about it. Press stop, record, okay, and press it again. All right, take a picture real quick. Look right in the camera. Oh, take another one, my bad. All right, how did it come out? Oh, you don't know, don't worry about it. Is it still recording? It's recording now? Okay, good. All right, so this is gonna be the first part of our show because, you know, I want the icebreaker, I forgot about that. I gotta ask an icebreaker.
Okay.
So you know everyone wants to know.
Okay.
Do you think Kanye crazy?
Hell yeah, I think Kanye crazy. Yes, I do think he's very much so crazy.
I had to ask.
Do you
know,
think
y'all,
he's crazy?
I think Kanye's a little touched. I think Kanye is a special person.
Mm-hmm.
And because Kanye is a special person, he may come off a little, you know, off kilter. But I do think Kanye needs his medicine that he's taking.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kanye is clinically... He ain't right.
He's not right.
How them old folks say that boy ain't right. That boy ain't right. That boy ain't right.
And I think this might raise some questions.
Yeah.
But I saw it somewhere on the internet where it says that your spouse has a lot to do with what's going on.
Y'all bringing it on Kim K?
I am bringing it on Kim K.
It could.
Only because I think the Kardashians and the loss of his mother plays a lot on his whole entire mental health.
Yeah.
Because if you have people that you're surrounded by that's always in the media for something negative or they got a lot going on.
Yeah.
You see that they're destroying every black man that they didn't talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes a toll on you. And
facts.
Losing your mother is something you don't understand unless you've been through it.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure it empties you inside.
Mm-hmm.
So if you empty inside and then you go into Devil's Corner, what really happened?
Right, right. You have a point. You have a point. And we are in a place in society that we see a lot of people who don't know how to handle their emotions. We see a lot of people who are angry.
Yeah.
But we be like, why are they so angry?
Why are you so angry?
Right. A lot of people who are sad, and you know, and we don't know why. And I think a lot of that stems to the mental health.
I think they might not know why either. So.
And which is why.
When you're angry and you're sad inside and you can't figure out why.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a clear indication that you need
turmoil.
Instant
turmoil.
There you go. And I was always told, my therapist taught me this some time ago, you know who you are, girl.
Yeah.
That the mental health is like a big muscle.
Right.
Your brain is a muscle.
Right.
Your emotions, all that stuff is a muscle. And if you're not exercising that muscle well, guess what? You're going to be in, like you said, turmoil.
Right.
I want to give a little shout out to parents, like moms out there. Mm-hmm. We are always doing everything for our kids. But oftentimes when doing for our kids, we forget to take care of self.
Definitely.
I mean, and I encourage you all, I'm in a new stage of my life that I take care of myself. You know, there's sometimes that some will probably say I take care of myself too much. Like I hop a flight in a minute and go on vacation. and leave them kids at home. So it's important, honestly, to take care of yourself. So women in general, because we're everywhere. We're doing
right.
everything.
Right.
It's take
we put
time
a major role in this to that take, don't want to admit it.
Absolutely. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself mentally. Have a day set to yourself that you can just reflect and become a better you. So whatever that takes, do it.
But
go ahead.
Stop worrying about everybody else's problems that
Facts.
Don't concern you.
Facts.
Facts.
You're about to hear that.
Sometimes in life you start stressing out about what's going on with you.
That's right.
And
That's
what's
right.
going on with everybody else around you. And you're stressed about everybody else's life and it don't really matter.
That's right.
You can't control everything around you. And that's another big part of mental health.
You better hear that, girl. Y'all
not
better help.
Not being able to control things, especially when it involves you,
mm-hmm.
like your children, your family
Absolutely.
Members, your spouse. That's
turmoil
right there, too.
Right.
Especially when you're used to being that control freak,
right.
being in control of everything at one time.
And personally, that was my issue. I had to get to the place in my life that I realized I can't control everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing like getting to the place that place that you were hitting the brick wall with what you were going through,
right.
Children doing A, B, and C, spouse doing A, B, and C, coworkers doing A, B, and C, all that stuff on you. When you get to the point that you just say, okay, this is where I'm at.
Right.
And then you begin to equip yourself with tools. Like, I'm not even going to sweat it.
Right.
Cleaning the house every day, I stop sweating it. You know, cooking every day, I stop sweating it. You know, just I stopped sweating the small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all a big part, like you said, of mental health.
Great.
And we're going to close this podcast out by, I want to tell you again, I do appreciate you coming in.
Of course. I want to come back.
You know, we're going to have her back on some podcasts
yeah.
because my other crew, they're not here. Everybody was busy today. So, you know, we're giving a shout out to Ree. I see you, girl. Brandon, you know I see you. And Pat, you in Vegas right now. Mm-hmm. So thank you for coming by.
You're
and
welcome.
We are in our little cave, so that's why it's look a little different. We're not recording live. So we love you, and we appreciate you joining Great Table Talk. We out.
Bye.